We're going to be having a look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy over the next while, because Paul does something very interesting, and he uses six metaphors to paint a picture of what is essential in our Christian walk, so that we will stand head and shoulders above the corruption of this passing world. And as we look at this series of messages on Timothy, we need to discern the heart of the Father through Paul's messages. Because you see, Paul isn't trying to place burdens upon us through these metaphors. But he, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants to give us some keys on how to walk and live a victorious Christianity. He wants us to finish our earthly race with power, with passion and steadfastness. Why? Because the enemy is determined to see that we become discouraged. The enemy is determined to see that we become sidetracked, that we become overwhelmed, that we take offense and become frustrated, so that we will throw in the towel and take the line of least resistance. Whether we've been Christians for 5 minutes or 20 years, Paul's words hold wisdom and are equally relevant to us today. Because the Father's heart is speaking to us. The Father's heart is for fellowship with humanity. The Father's heart is to make us into the image of his beloved Jesus. The Father's heart is to keep on reminding us to keep our eyes fixed on the eternal prize of our heavenly calling. The Father's heart is to see us succeed, and so he gave us his Holy Spirit to ensure that. You know, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and parted the Red Sea indwells us. I mean, when you stop to think about that, it's just amazing. And he wants to awaken us to realize that what we have and everything that we need is literally within us because of his love for us. The Father's heart is that we live in the plans that he has for our lives, that we put aside our plans for his plans, because he is the one that has intimate knowledge of us and how we're wired and what is our destiny. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, he says there, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations." He had a role for us to fulfill before we were born, as he did with Jeremiah. The question is, are we prepared to relinquish control of our life and allow God to direct our path? See, that was Jeremiah's issue as well. He kept coming up with all these excuses, and God just said, "You need to trust me. You need to trust that I'm the one that knows what's best for your life." Because until we relinquish control, we will never really live in that inner peace that we know beyond question that we are walking exactly in the destiny that God has prepared for us. And that is something that our hearts yearn for. The dying to self-will is probably the most challenging of all the challenges that we face. Because independence was the poison that was birthed in the Garden of Eden when our first parents chose a life of independence from God, to walk in their own wisdom and their own decisions, deluded by the enemy's suggestions that their decisions would be more beneficial and more exciting for their lives. Well, we stand here today and we know exactly how that turned out. And so we're still faced, though, with the same challenge. Will we relinquish our will for the Father's will? The same enemy whispers in our ears that our best is basically us making the decisions. It's much more exciting. It's less difficult. And to be honest with you, to some extent, the enemy is right. It can be more exciting living on the edge. It can be easier doing whatever you want. And what isn't true is that it's for your best. I mean, I used to find it exciting messing with drugs, hanging out with, you know, the crowd where no rules applied. Where the more radical it seemed that I became, the more drawn to me people were. Living how I wanted, free to do what I wanted, when I wanted, and how I wanted. Living a promiscuous life, no big deal. I mean, everybody was doing it. But what I didn't count on during this time of doing my own thing was the physical effect that the drugs would have on my health. The ability to get up and go, it was making me lethargic, it was playing havoc with my mind, it was ruling my life, and my main thought was, when was I going to get my next high? My life began to be defined by living from one high to the next, and everything in between became nothing more than annoyance. And mind you, this is all the while I'm a personal trainer, a fitness instructor, a nutrition consultant. What an oxymoron. I didn't realize how damaging a promiscuous lifestyle could be emotionally. Looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for validation in all the wrong ways, and each time it was over, needing another fix for my self-esteem. A never-ending roller coaster of emotional highs and emotional lows as I was relying on others to determine my worth. The Father's heart is for us to live an abundant life and to live it to the full. The enemy's intention, of course, is not that, but to make it appear that that is his desire. But Jesus exposes his true intention in John 10:10 when he says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is the truth. With the Father's heart in mind, Paul writes his letter to Timothy. If we go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, he says the following: "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among my many witnesses, commit these to the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engaged in the warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Now the first question you need to ask at this point is, why is Paul writing this to Timothy in the first place? Paul writes this letter from a Roman prison, and there is a strong probability that he will never see Timothy again. So Paul writes to Timothy because he wants this young minister to hold his course in the faith, despite persecution or opposition or anything else that may serve to distract him, and above all, that he would be an example to others. In the first chapter, Paul encourages Timothy by reminding him that he's not been given a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind, to not be ashamed of the gospel, to remember the surpassing work of the cross, which has liberated us from death and opened up eternal prospects for those who remain in faith, steadfast, unshakable, uncompromising, placing the value of what was achieved at the cross above the transient pleasures of this world, which is passing away along with those who follow its ways. He goes on to mention with sadness those who have already turned away from the gospel, and he implores Timothy to hold on to what is true in the strength of the Holy Spirit that indwells him. The deposit of the Holy Spirit is the gift from the Father to ensure our success. So he's saying to him, remember him, lean on him. And then he follows that with the admonition to be strong, like a soldier. So why is he using this metaphor? Well, if you have a look at the life of a soldier, it's quite interesting because a soldier has a 7 core army value system that he lives by each and every day. And some of the keys to that, the first one is loyalty, to bear true faith and allegiance, believing and devoting yourself to something or someone. And of course, in the case of a soldier, it's to the country, to the army, to the unit, and then to other soldiers. Second thing is duty. Not taking shortcuts in case that should undermine the integrity of the final product. Fulfilling one's obligations as part of the unit. The third thing is respect. Respect to appreciate the best in others. Next is selfless service. To be able to commit to each team member to go a little further, endure a little longer, and look a little closer to how he or she can add to the effort, being a team player. Then we have honour. Honour is basically living the values of respect, duty, loyalty, selfless service, integrity, and personal courage in everyday life. Then we have integrity. Integrity grows because we make decisions that do not involve deception of others. Personal courage, building on our courage by daily standing up for and acting upon the things we know to be honourable, even if it means taking those course of action that is not popular with others. That's interesting, isn't it? You know, Daniel was a man like that. He exhibited those qualities. His commitment to God gave him favour with man. He had the opportunity to run with the crowd or to set himself aside and to follow his covenant regulations and the promises that the nation of Israel had made in keeping the law. He was going to keep God's laws on kosher food, and he did that. And God blessed him for it. So what's Paul trying to say? He's saying, don't get yourself entangled in the world's affairs. be solely committed to the one who enlisted you. Your heart and your mind belongs to the enlister, not just on a monthly basis, but on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis. Augustine once said, "I belong to Christ and I'll live for him alone." Paul is saying to Timothy, don't let anyone come along and take you away from the gospel that you accepted. And he's saying that to us today. Don't let the standards of this world dictate your worth. Don't be deceived that living a double life from Monday to Saturday is acceptable to God. Sitting on the fence will only serve to give us splinters. He's saying don't let disappointments cloud our focus on eternity. When we're feeling overwhelmed or frustrated, or the cares of this world are pressing in on us, cast our burdens upon the Lord. Let go and let God. And when we're offended, be quick to make our peace and forgive. Don't throw in the towel or take the line of least resistance. Don't listen to the enemy's lies that we can do better making our own decisions without God. Paul wants us to know the heart of God, and that is that he wants us to finish our earthly race with power, passion, and steadfastness, 100% committed to our enlister, Christ Jesus, relying in all things on the Holy Spirit. If there's anything in your life that is drawing your attention away from God, that is a distraction and hindering you from giving 100% to God, now is the time to deal with those things and come back to the Father, because he has done everything so that you might have life abundant and have life to the full, not just now while you are a pilgrim on this earth, but for all eternity. And you can search the whole world over, and you won't be able to find a deal like that.